Hello, everyone. Welcome to Developing Palettes. I'm Aaron Loomis coming to you from the Drew Estate Studio. With me today is Seth Geis and from the Pastania Studio, John McTavish. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good, man. Sun setting like quarter to eight tonight or whatever because we saved up nice. That daylight. Now we're spending it in the evening. So, you know, go sit on the patio and enjoy some sun.
There you go. All right. So today we are talking about the Don Doroteo Salt of the Earth, Piedra Viva Toro. Cigar is kind of a Toro extra, I guess. 5 3/4 by 54. Comes out of the La Aurora factory in the Dominican Republic. Wrapper is Ecuadorian Cameroon. Binder is from Nicaragua. Filler is Dominican Andujo, Corojo, Criollo 98, Nicaraguan Condega Ligero, and Viso Condega. Price point is $16.75. Cigar was released in November of 2023. So with all that out of the way, Seth, what was your overall experience like with this cigar?
I mean, listen, the first third started with this. I mean, it was a muddled flavor. It was kind of really hard to pick up a lot of things. Soft earth, tobacco, wood, sweet spices, cocoa, medium strength and body. It just kind of was all really blended together. Bits of cocoa a little bit more in the second third, and the final third was kind of just right in line, a little bit more tobacco and mineral spices. Nice burn, really good draw. Just average flavor profile. John?
I'm going to lead off with something we normally talk about, which is the weight of this cigar, and it was a beast. And this is with the cellophane, the sort of sheath off of it, because I'm sure the sheath weight. This cigar weighed in at 20.1 grams, which is, it's a beast. I want to say it's close to 4 grams, 3.5, 4 grams more than some of the other Toros we've been reviewing. So it's noticeable. Like, you pick this cigar, I'm like, damn, there's a lot of tobacco in this. So for me, the first third experience started with this really nice sort of rich, creamy tobacco, this combination of moss, wood, and earth into the finish, which was kind of, and I think that maybe what Seth was kind of talking about, a little bit of baking spices in the post-draw, light plus. They evolved into pepper, which is interesting, so they changed from spices to pepper, and then they moved up to medium as it continued. A little bit of sweetness came through eventually at the end of the draw, which kind of offset that, which is nice. And then stewed dark fruit sweetness on the retrohale, which was, very lip-smacking and nice. Pepper ended up receding, the light plus kind of balancing out nicely, and everything kind of came into balance. So good first third. Second third, creamy tobacco, a little bit of mild spice and wood, a little bit of dry wood in the post draw. That stewed fruit kind of came through, but much fainter than the first third, so kind of like a bit of an echo from where it was in the first third. The halfway point, largely defined by wood, a little bit of baking spices in the center of the retrohale in the bottom half, but not much else going on. And last third, kind of creamy wood, and really the tone, I think, of the last third was wood. Creamy wood, tannic wood on the finish, really stable profile, so not really any change-ups. And then earth kind of came through at the end of the draw by the halfway point, a little bit of pepper. Kind of very, I don't want to say monotonous, but very flat, very linear. Burn was excellent, really no issues. Had a really odd thing with the draw, though, which really makes sense when you see how much tobacco is packed into this. So it was initially quite snug. So I actually made a second cut, and the second cut opened it up from 3.5 to 4 notches to 2.5 to 3. So like I said, a lot of tobacco. And then as the first third settled in, it opened right up to 1.5 to 2 notches. So it went from what would have been a average draw all the way up to a very good draw. So I guess something to be aware of, you might need a slightly deeper cut. I think a V cut would have been perfect on this cigar rather than a straight cut. Anyways, all that to say, an above average flavor profile. What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, for me, the cigar began with lightly toasted cedar, creamy chalkiness, and mild black pepper. Second third saw the toasted cedar become fairly dry. And the final third saw the toast level become heavy and a wood bitterness joined in that can transition to a vegetal bitterness. I think I had an average flavor profile throughout. Pretty basic flavors, kind of a bit mundane, not very much transitioning until the final third when the bitterness joined in. Kind of felt like a pretty paint by numbers blend out of La Aurora. I didn't feel like I got much of the Enduyo influence on the cigar. So not something I'd really come back to. We do have the Peter Aguilar version that we'll do in a future review, so we'll see how that does. But yeah, this was kind of a miss for me. All right, getting to the scores, we're going to start at the top with John at 5.95. June, who wasn't able to join us, gave it a 5.75. And then Seth and I both gave it a 5.65. So, John, how'd that 5.95 match up for you?
Yeah, it matches up well. Scores held back a little bit by the draw score, but, you know, even if it kind of settled in at 6-1, price point aside, that's too low for me to be something that I return to, but the score matches up well with my experience.
All right, Seth, 5.65.
Yeah, I mean, it was a flavor profile that just kind of, it didn't pop. It was just all, as I said, muddled in there. Price was a little bit high. Well, price was high. It's not something I'd come back to. It kind of, I mean, you kind of mentioned it. It's this one of these blends from La Aurora. There's really no connection to it. So yeah, just kind of blends in and easily forgettable.
Yeah. Yeah. My score matches up well. Average flavor profile throughout, just a little bit of a wavy burn, nothing too crazy, but otherwise construction was good. There's just nothing. I think you could throw a dart in La Aurora and pick this blend. So there's nothing exciting about it. Right. So, you know, I think that they get, you know, you go in there, you get enamored. Oh, this Enduyo tobacco, and everybody that uses that tobacco seems to have the same story. Like, nobody uses this tobacco. It's this crazy way they make it. It's, you know, we've seen it comes and goes. We see it all, you know, I'm not going to say all the time, but we see it come in, you know, waves, and it, you know,
it had a wave about a couple of years ago. They're, you know,
yeah. I mean, La Aurora did the ADN, and then even before that, Ventura was using it as well.
Didn't LFD make a big deal about it?
I can't remember if LFD did it.
No, wait a minute. Not LFD.
You think of Christoph?
No, I don't remember.
I thought the La Galera Ochi Blanco did it with one of theirs.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Other people have done this, though.
So it's not this like secret tobacco that hasn't been used in hundreds of years. It's been around. So. Yeah.
It's kind of akin to fire cured tobacco. Like, you know, it kind of has this popularity rise where people use it again and doesn't really catch on. And then it kind of goes away for a couple of years and then it comes back. And that's kind of how I feel about Enduyo.
Yeah. I think you might need to use a lot of it to like really get that influence, but yeah, it's probably not going to burn well if you use it a lot of So
too wet, too heavy.
What are you going to say, Seth?
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's like the fire cure. You're right. It's one of those things you have to use a lot of it, and then it's just overwhelming. And it's just some of these big factories, like, you know, Drew Estate uses fire cured in a lot of stuff. It was for a while, they just were trying to make a big deal about it. And this is kind of, you know, La Aurora has still doing stuff with it, and they're like, hey, let's see if we can do something with it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's one of those things, and this might be slightly unfair, but if it was good, everyone would be doing it. And the fact that everyone isn't doing it,
it wouldn't be a thing for a couple of years.
Right. So, you know, the fact that most larger companies have tried this, and it's not a regular mainstay of most large manufacturers, that's kind of an indicator that, like, you know, it's a fun experiment, and it's cool to work with. But I don't think the end product is something that is particularly stand out in the marketplace generally.
Yeah. All right. Wherever you catch this video, be sure to like and subscribe, but check out the full written review on the website, developmentpalace.com. Follow us on all the social media channels, and you can catch all of our review recaps on podcasts. So iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in. We will catch you on the next one.
Salt of the Earth.